Who am I? Some may be asking after browsing through this website, who is this guy and who gave him the authority to put this website together and who gave him the authority to say these things about the ministry? Well, I'll tell you who I am. My name is Daniel Coran. My friends call me Dan. I'm 50 years old and I've been a member of God's church since the mid-1970s. I'm not by any means perfect, nor have I been a perfect Christian. Over the past 21 years since the death of Mr. Armstrong, I have been misled, misguided, and misinformed by, yes, ministers of God's church. But I don't blame them for that. That's my own fault. It takes time to wake up out of sleep or slumber, and that is exactly what has happened to all, not just some of, but all of God's people here in the end time. Matthew 25 and verse 5 says that while the bridegroom tarried, they all, A-L-L, all slumbered and slept. So that is the condition spiritually that we find God's people in today, stone cold asleep. And God says that all have fallen into that condition. But that doesn't mean we have to stay in that condition. But does that mean that I don't believe in a ministry or follow God's government? Absolutely not. I fully realize that I am still under the government of God. We all are, whether we realize it or not, or whether we want to be or not. And I have nothing against God's ministry, nor am I on some kind of personal mission to castigate or slander the ministers of God. There is nothing that I would love more than to find a truly sincere, faithful minister of Jesus Christ. It sure would make things a whole lot easier. So no, I have nothing against ministers. But God does have something against the ministry today, and He has much to say about it in His Word. It's all written right there in the Word of God. You don't hear many ministers preaching or talking about those scriptures today, unless they are applying it to someone else, that is. My main purpose with this website is to help us all be reminded what God gave us through Mr. Armstrong here in the end time. So many of us have simply forgotten. And Mr. Armstrong warned us of the very condition we find the church in right now, the Laodicean condition. Many even have willingly or willfully forgotten what we were taught under Mr. Armstrong. This is to their shame, and this includes ministers as well. Remember, God is no respecter of persons. And when you begin to see what God is saying to us today through His Word, in other words, discerning the times we are living in, it's not hard to see that indeed the ministry of Jesus Christ today has gone astray and has led the vast majority of God's people astray. This is to their shame as well. God holds the ministry very responsible for what has happened to God's people since the death of Mr. Armstrong, and woe be to them when the great tribulation comes if they don't repent and get back on track. So what authority do I have as a lowly deacon to say these things? And does God give authority at all to deacons? Do deacons even have the authority to speak or give sermons? Let's take a look just briefly at God's Word and see. First, though, I just want to mention that even under Mr. Armstrong, yes, deacons were able to give sermonettes and split sermons and sometimes sermons. In the churches that I have been a part of in this Laodicean era since the death of Mr. Armstrong, many times I was assigned the task of speaking in sermons and split sermons and sermonettes, and some of these were even video sermons. But here we are now, 21 years into the Laodicean era of God's church. Someone has to speak out for God's truth and for what God gave us through His end-time apostle. Does a lowly deacon have this authority? God has something to say to His ministry, but He also has something to say to all of us at this time. Christ wants all of us, all of His people, to wake up. If you have your Bible handy, please turn to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. I'll be using the New King James Version here, and I think we are all probably aware or familiar with this story. But notice verse 8, which says, Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Now Stephen was also just a lowly deacon, as some today call us, the bottom of the totem pole, so to speak, as far as the ministry goes. And that is true as far as typical ministerial authority is concerned. Deacons are put in place primarily for the physical functions of the church. But here in God's Word is an example of a faithful deacon. And in verse 2 through 50 of chapter 7, Stephen gives one of the most powerful sermons in the entire Bible. Why did God inspire this to be recorded? Does the Bible speak to us today or not? Back in chapter 6, continuing on in verse 9, it says, "Then there arose some from the," as the old King James says, "libertines," and that word is number 3032 in Strong's Concordance, which translates into freedmen, as is translated here in the New King James. And isn't it interesting how this parallels the churches and splinter groups of God's church today? They all think that they're free from that old legalistic way, so to speak, that Mr. Armstrong taught. It reminds me of what is said in Amos chapter 6 and verse 1, where it says, "Woe to you who are at ease in Zion." But notice here what they did. They rose up, and as it says, disputing with Stephen. So there was a dispute. They were against Stephen, who was faithful and loyal to God. And notice verse 10. It says, "And they were not able to resist or refute the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke." Well, by what spirit was that in which he spoke, brethren? It was the Spirit of God, of course, that spirit of power and truth. So these religious leaders, and notice that they were indeed religious leaders who obviously thought that they were right, but they conspired against Stephen and falsely accused him. This is verses 11 through 15, and they had him brought before a tribunal or a council. Then in chapter 7, you see this famous, powerful sermon where Stephen gives his people their history, just like Mr. Armstrong used to give us the history of our people and the history of God's church. But notice when he has done what he says, he gives a strong warning and correction. Notice verses 51 through 53 of chapter 7. It says, verse 51, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you." Verse 52, "Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you now have become betrayers and murderers." Verse 53, "Who have received the law by direction of angels and have not kept it." So it's interesting here that Stephen brings up the fact that they were resisting God's Spirit, and he also shows that they had received God's law but did not keep it. So here, after Stephen gives this long sermon on their history, he also ends it with very strong correction and warning. Of course, we know what the result was. They mobbed him and they killed him for his testimony. But that's just one example of what God did through a deacon. Now, I dare say that I have the kind of faith that Stephen did. I surely wish I did. But nevertheless, this example is there for all of us. So today in God's church, do we see anyone calling for a return back to what was given to us under the leadership of God's end-time apostle? I see no minister doing this today anywhere. There are a few who profess to be holding fast or teaching what Mr. Armstrong taught, but there is always that little quote-unquote spiritual loophole somewhere that shows their true agenda in that they simply are not being loyal ministers and holding fast to all that was given to us through Mr. Armstrong. Remember, the church was given a twofold commission. Number one was to preach the gospel to the world as a witness, and number two was to feed the flock. The number one was the job of the apostle, and it was completed and is now fulfilled prophecy. Yet there are those who are spiritually blind to this, either willingly or just ignorant of that fact. The number two aspect, to feed the flock, was primarily the job of the ministry. That has not been being done since the death of Mr. Armstrong. Yes, they are feeding something, but it's not food based on the teachings of all the apostles. All the apostles. If it was, then they would be adhering to what God's end-time apostle taught. Notice Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 34. This applies now more than any time in the history of God's people. And this most certainly is talking about God's people or church, as we will see. And tell me as we read this, tell me if this doesn't sound like this Laodicean condition we are living in right now. Notice Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse 1. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds be feeding the flocks, or feed the flocks? Verse 3, You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. Skipping down to verse 5, it says, So they, this is talking about the flock, they were scattered because there was no shepherd. It didn't say a few, it says no shepherd. And they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. Verse 6, My sheep wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them. Interesting. Now, verse 7, Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord God, surely because my flock, see, God says it's my flock, became a prey, and my flock became food for every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, nor did my shepherds search for my flock. So it's obvious he's talking that there are shepherds. God said, my shepherds, but they did not search for my flock. But the shepherds fed themselves. So what God is saying here, yeah, there's shepherds, but they're not loyal. They're feeding themselves and not God's people. Verse 9 says, Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Verse 10, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand. I will cause them to cease feeding the sheep. That's happened. That's been happening. And the shepherds shall feed themselves no more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouths, that they may no longer be food for them. And then eventually, God gives us a very encouraging message, beginning in verse 11, for those of us who are scattered brethren trying to hold fast. Verse 11, God says, For thus says the Lord God, Indeed, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloud and dark day. Now, I'll stop right here for the sake of time, but you can also read John chapter 10, where Christ is referring to himself as the true shepherd, and that is very much a very powerful message for us today. John chapter 10, and this all ties in also with Jeremiah 23, as well as many other verses in the Bible that obviously are talking about this end time or this Laodicean era of God's church. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to discern the times we're living in. It just takes God's Spirit and a willingness to hold on to what He has taught us and given us. Well, I don't want to spend much more time on this subject now because it's covered in other places on this website, but more will be coming soon. Anyway, I just wanted to give this audio introduction because I know sometimes it's just better to hear a voice. If I do decide to do any other audio messages on this website, it will not be about me, but only regarding what Mr. Armstrong taught on certain subjects. But again, the primary purpose of this website is to serve as a reminder of what Mr. Armstrong taught on various doctrines and subjects that are so easily forgotten and overlooked today. We also serve as a point of contact for those who are sincerely interested in holding fast and having fellowship with those of like mind. So if you are one of those, please feel free to contact me using the email address on this website. I am not looking for a following. We are not an organized, incorporated church organization. We are, though, fellow members of the body of Christ, scattered and few, but we are all connected by one Spirit, the Spirit of God. So spiritually speaking, we all are still that spiritual organism, the Church of God. So I do hope to hear from you soon. Until then, this is Daniel E. Corian. Goodbye, friends.